Bow our heads and our hearts and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. We bless you for a good place to come. We bless you for a roof over our heads and food that we've received today and will yet to receive. Lord, thank you for every blessing of life. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you, Lord, for making us people of the book. We bless you, we praise you, we rejoice in you. We give thanks today. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll let all but Caleb's class be dismissed right now. So y'all go that way, young'uns. I was telling them at the nursing home this morning about all these boys we got here in this church. We got beautiful girls too, by the way. But all these boys we've got, it just seems like we have a slew of boys all of a sudden, and we delight in these boys. We delight in these girls too now. No disrespect there, but I was telling them that we had a passel of boys right now, so we're going to have to make up with it by having a passel of girls in days to come, okay? Y'all hear me? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Like the girls. We like the girls. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 8. We're in the midst of our study at John at the nursing home, and that's where we're going to be this morning as we look at a beautiful passage, a truth that's an amazing truth, and it's a truth that we should all know and keep before our eyes as Christians, as men, women, boys, and girls who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I'll speak on today is found in verse 51 of John chapter 8, where it says there, "Verily, verily," and this is many times in John so far in our study of John, many have been the times that our Lord has started a verse with those words. Truly, truly, he's giving emphasis here. He wants us to listen to what he's about to say. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Let that sink in a minute. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I went to the doctor back several weeks ago, and went in. I said, "Doc, my hands. It seems like I'm losing my hands." And so he said, "Carol, do you smoke or chew or drink alcohol?" I said, "Well, no, I'm not given to that much." And so I'm just don't go there. He said, "I don't worry about this." He said, "As you get your age and my age," and he's older than I am. My doctor's older than I am. When I get our age, said, "we have these thoughts of mortality. And we're mortal and that we're passing on and we're getting on out of here." The Lord sort of smacks at that in this particular verse right here. Did you notice that? He sort of smacks at that thought. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." It's an amazing truth. If you go back and read John 5:24, if you just back up a few pages in your Bible, John 5:24, we rested on this one a couple of days when we preached on this. And our Lord Jesus there says these words, "Truly, truly, verily, verily," that's another one of those, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And of course that verse then references another verse, which is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if I was to continue the chain, and that verse references another verse over in Romans where Paul rehearses the same thing in Romans 5, verse 8. We have everlasting life in Jesus Christ the Lord. He that keepeth my sayings, it says there, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And he bases it on, "Truly, truly, truly, I say this unto thee." I would have to observe that throughout the Word of God, even though I'm not going to go there in too much, but our Lord also says the reverse of this. He also says the reverse of this. And it could be said that he that does not keep my words shall never see life. Shall never see life. He that believeth on me shall not come into condemnation, the Lord Jesus says. But he that believeth not is condemned right now, already. He's condemned right now. So the opposite of this is true. So we're not going to look at the opposite of it this morning, but the opposite of it is a great warning to us, because he that doth not keep his sayings, he that doth not believe upon him, shall never see life. And oh, what a wonderful promise comes to us in this verse. So I encourage you today to claim this promise as your own. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall never see death. Now, we'll investigate that a little bit further in just a few moments. But claim it as your own. Claim it as the Lord's promise unto you, that everlasting life is your portion. What a gloriously wonderful thing to say, I have everlasting life. Over in John 10, the Lord does it in such a beautiful way. He says, just amplifies it, ramps it up more and more. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a glorious, glorious truth. Claim it as your own today. Hear the word of the Lord today. It's a word of grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he always expresses truth. The Lord doesn't ever proclaim lies or anything like that. Matter of fact, the Pharisees, if you were to read back, the accusations are abounding in the verses previous to this, where the Pharisees and the chief priests and scribes, they were just railing at the Lord. They called him a son of fornication. They said, Abraham is our father, and you don't even know who your father is. And the Lord then proclaims the Lord God of heaven is his father, and they want to stone him for it. But he always comes back with truth. He doesn't come back with accusations. He doesn't come back with anything that would, almost in calmness. They rail at him, and he in calmness answers them in truth. Well, in many ways, that's the way that we're to be in life and our testimony for Jesus Christ the Lord. We don't have to get loud or scream or anything like that. And I'm a loud person. I was given loud pipes when I was born. And my mother could probably have attested to my ability to scream to high heaven when I was born. And when I wanted food, everybody knew that I wanted food. And so I'm a screamer. I'm loud. But that's all right. That's all right. We don't have to return with a loud voice. We just return with a calm voice that says, Jesus Christ's truth is to be heard. And that's the way our Lord proceeded. He did that. Amazingly enough, they'd come up and just want to strangle him, and he would just speak a word of truth in their lives. Come in and said, should we not pay taxes? We got you. And he looks at us calmly and just says, well, show me a penny. Show me a penny. He said, now, whose face is on this penny? He said, well, Caesar. He said, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God. In essence, he answered it so completely and yet didn't answer it at all, but in calmness he expressed truth. And that's our Lord. And so may we be wise in our Lord to do the same thing. And so great accusations came against him, but he always just set forth truly, truly, verily, verily, as he set forth here. And it should also be with us. Don't get mad when someone challenges you about the gospel. I can remember one instance where I did. I got mad, and man, it just was terrible. I walked away, and I was just dejected for quite some time because the accusations of this guy were real rough on me and rough on the Lord, and I took it to heart, and I shouldn't have took it to heart. I should have anchored myself in the truth of God's word, and that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to do. If any man keep his saying, he shall never see death. Well, what does the man do that shall never see death? He keeps the sayings of our Lord. He keeps the Lord's sayings. Now, that's basically the only premise right there. The one who will never see death, the only premise given there is that he keeps the sayings of our Lord. Now, that means he can be a loudmouth like me. He can be someone that's strong-willed. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a strong-willed boy. I'm a strong-willed man. I would very honestly say, how many strong-willed people in here? And without question, in my mind's eye, everyone would raise their hand whether they were strong-willed or not, because they'd only be weak-willed. They won't be strong-willed. And we're all strong-willed people. But it doesn't give a premise here. It is the premise is that we keep the sayings of our Lord. We listen to him. We believe upon him, regardless of how weak we are, how strong we are. regardless of our past, whether we were timid, shy, or bold, or whatever the case may have been, sinner exceedingly, or just sort of a passive sinner, just sort of walking through the things of life. We may have been weak-willed or maybe strong-willed. All these things are sort of no consequence. We're to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to keep his sayings. We're to keep his sayings, whether strong-willed or short-willed. And it is our Lord who holds. Also, it speaks here very clearly. It says, if any man keep my sayings right there. Our Lord Jesus sets forth that the man that's closely related to, closely associated with him, is the one that will never see death. Will never see death. That person who has that strong relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord, that close relationship with him. And the Bible very clearly teaches that there's but one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. So we have to know that God only has the one way by which we enter into everlasting life. And that one way is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not through any other way. And so it clearly teaches that there's no other one. So we must align ourselves with God's appointed way of life. And life is only found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we delight that that's the case. He'll not receive you in any other way except you believe upon him. If any man keep my sayings. What does that mean? If a man keep my sayings. If a man keep my sayings. What does that mean? Well, it means we accept his words. We receive his words and his statements and his doctrines. We receive them. We don't reject them. He lays down the law and we accept it. We accept it. Many times around the house, we can lay down the law with the children, and the law seems like it's violated right and left all the time. I was culprit to that myself. But when he lays down the law, we accept it, for we are to keep his saying. We must be grounded in the very word of God. That's the reason we sang this morning, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say? He can't say any more. So thus saith the Lord is to be our daily bread. It's to not be something that we don't take up. Our daily bread is to be thus saith the Lord. As we start into a new year, 2019, when it's hard for me to even think about writing a check. I haven't signed my first one in 2019 yet. I'll probably delay as much as I can. Love, don't let me sign any checks for 6 months, okay? I can hardly imagine it's 2019. But as we begin 2019, wouldn't it be wonderful if we anchored in ourselves that thus saith the Lord is that which leads through our lives throughout this year? Thus saith the Lord as he speaks to us. We're to keep his sayings. Just as I mentioned a few moments ago, that bread which every man should live by, our Lord said, I'm hungry, but I'm not going to make those stones bread, because the bread that I need, the bread that is necessary in my life, is the word of God. I shall live by it. I shall be nourished by it. And we're to live. We live in an age where everybody wants to deny Christ's words. They want to say, he was a good teacher, and he did some pretty good things. His words, I go along with him 75% of the time or 60% of the time. I sort of like him sometimes. But that's not what this says right here. Our hearts to be clearly on his side, clearly maintaining that I believe it, God said it, and that settles it for me. Now, that might be a little bit too fundamentalist in mind's eye, but that's the way it is. God said, it's thus saith the Lord. And if what the Lord says, we're to keep it. We're to walk after it. I know it means at least that. But it also means that we're to trust in his promises. If a man keep my saying, we're to trust in his promises. So when he gives a promise to us, we're to hold on to it. It's to become ours. It's to become ours. Embedded in our verse is a great promise, which we'll get to in just a moment. He shall never see death. But there are so many verses of great promise that we could air out. We could start around the room and many could be given. But we're to trust in his promises. And without this trust, we do not have a spiritual life. A spiritual life is not our portion if we don't trust in his promises. So we must trust in his promises. We must have that heart to say, and though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never. He'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. In that same way, we're to sing back to him and say, oh, Lord, and your words should be sweet in our lives, and we should never in any way turn aside from your word. We keep his saying. It also means we're to obey his precepts. He's not only our teacher, but he's our master. The disciples called him such. They called him master. And then he went on and said, not only am I master, but I am Lord. I'm Lord. But we're to listen to him. We're to hear his precepts. The Lord has ordained it, and he beautifully performs it here, cheerfully performs it as he goes to the cross. And we're to do the same. We're to do the same. He didn't kick against his Father's commands. And so also we should be willing to be those who do not kick against his commands. It's a straight gate and a narrow way, and he says, you'll not enter into everlasting life except you go through that narrow gate, that straight gate, and that narrow way. And many times it leads unto loneliness. It seems like you're the only one, but you're never the only one. On that road, you're not the only one on the road, but you're to be those who obey his precepts. Faith that does not lead to obedience, James very clearly says, is a dead faith. It's a faith that will end in everlasting death. That's the kind of faith that destroys. So faith must lead to obedience. It's no better than the faith of devils if it does not delight in Christ and delight in his sayings to keep his sayings. So we follow after him. We do it in the same vein that our Lord said in verse 55. If you're still there in John, we're looking at verse 51. If you just to leap forward to 55, it says this. These are the words of our Lord again. And yet ye, and he's speaking to those same Jews in that day. And yet ye have not known him, but I know him. In other words, Jesus is talking to them, says, and you don't even know God the Father, but I know him. I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his saying, somewhat akin to the same message in verse 51 for us. If any man keep my saying, our Lord says, I do this, I honor my Father in so doing, and you're to honor me in so doing. So we're to keep his precepts. Then we come to the great promise that's here in this verse. He shall never see death. He shall never see death. Does that mean that we're not going to die? No, it does not mean that. Now, we may not die. The Lord may return. I've had several beautiful believers come up to me and say, the Lord has shown me I'm not going to see death. I can remember another one, in other words, in saying that the Lord's going to come and I'm just going to be raptured in that day and I'll never have to experience death. And the one I'm thinking about right now experienced death. We buried him. I've had others, though. I've had people boldly walk up and say to me, well, the Lord has shown me that I'm going to live until the rapture. Okay, that's all right. But I want you to know we're talking about something that's so infinitesimally small in importance that it's not even funny. It's not even funny. It's so small. Whether you live, because the Lord says, when I return, if you're alive, you'll be caught up together with who? Them that have been coming out of the graves. So we'll be all together there and there, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. So what does it mean that we shall not die? It does not mean that we shall not see death, that we shall not die. But it means that our face will not be turned toward death. Follow me here for a few moments. And if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. our faces will not be turned toward death. Toward death. We don't gaze upon it. Matter of fact, it could be said our back is to death. And what's out in front of us is life. Is life. Our face is toward life. It's not toward death. It's not toward death. My face is unto everlasting life. What should I be looking at? What should I be seeing? What should I be seeing? If we have Christ in our lives shouldn't be focused on death all the time. I wanted to tell my doctor that was not a real good statement, that I was facing mortality and all this kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I'll go back and probably reprove him the next time I see him, even though I'll probably do it tenderly. But, I mean, of course, we're going on. We're getting older. I don't bound out of my chair anymore. Linda will tell you I'm not a bounder anymore. I used to bound out of my chair. It could just sort of, it's almost just like I was, didn't have any weight to me, just gravity less, and I could just overcome gravity and just jump out of a chair and go on. Now I have to sort of just get myself all positioned and push up to get up out of the chair. I don't know. Weakness is a part of life. We proceed toward that. Our face is not to be in the direction of death and mortality, though. Our face is to be in the direction of everlasting life. He gives unto us everlasting life, and we shall never perish. And that's what lies before us. Well, what has become of death then? Well, if we die, what has become of death? Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Romans, where he says he swallowed up death in victory. He swallowed it up. Death doesn't have its appearing in the life of a believer. In the life of a believer, because Christ has died, and he's died for you and me, and we can say hallelujah to that. He's done that for us, and we delight in him. So spiritual death, it does mean this, that spiritual death is gone and shall never return. Spiritual death is not a part of our lives. It means that we will no longer live under the influence of death. I guess I've begun my 37th year at the nursing home. Today was the first Sunday. It is the first Sunday of 2019. And I believe it was in 1982 that we began the nursing home ministry. And it's carried on now for 37 years. My congregation is constantly changing there, constantly changing. I'll come and show up one Sunday morning, and a certain person won't be there. I say, well, where are they? They're in the hospital. And the next word I'll get is that they're gone. Or I'll get a call saying, would you come preach their funeral? Done that many, many times. The congregation is constantly saying. And I, very honestly, in that window of time of 37 years, I've seen many, many, and many Christians that live in great bondage and fear of death. They're scared to die. They're scared to death of death. Death is a very, it holds a lot of bondage in their lives. And I endeavor, with encouragements to the best that I can, to share with them that that should not be the premise of their lives. Their face should be upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The little almost child song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, which is death, is one of those things. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Don't let the bondage of having our face looking toward death capture you. You look unto our Lord and our Savior Jesus. We're to behold him. Turn your eyes away from that. But it also means that we shall never see the reality of death, namely that the wrath of God, which is poured out in the second death. That's what that means there. Shall never see death, that we will never experience the second death, which when the Lord gathers all together and great judgments is made in the great white throne judgment, and he cast into the lake of fire, and those there experience the second death. We definitely know that it means that we shall never see the reality of that death in the second death. So we are basically just right now in a believer's state. We're just traversing, you might say. That's a surveying term. We're just traversing from grace right now. Justin knows about traversing. He's traversed a lot of our farms. Some of these other young men know about traversing. We've gone and traversed. You mean we go around the farm, go around the property. Well, right now, we're just traversing from grace unto glory. Grace unto glory. That's where we're going. We're going from grace to glory. We're not going anyplace else but from grace to glory. So we don't have to be bent out of shape. It's a beautiful, full passage, a fluid passage where the psalmist David in Psalm 23 speaks about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, okay? You ever driven down a road and there's a tree, a gigantic tree on the side of the road, and it's casting a shadow all the way across the road? Have you ever gone and as you see that shadow, you hit your brakes real hard because you'd only hit the shadow? You ever done that? I may have done that in days gone by, just to be honest. I might have got caught off guard for just a moment. Wasn't paying no attention that it was just a shadow that was in the road. No, we don't do that. We just fly right on by. The shadow doesn't influence us. It doesn't stop us. It might distract us for a second, but it doesn't stop us. In the same way death is like that. It's a shadow. It doesn't stop us from transitioning into glory at all. Matter of fact, the traversing from grace unto glory is seamless. Could be said perfect. So much so that our word, Lord says, you will never see it. It'll be so fast that you won't ever know what happened. Okay? To that person who's dreading death and dreading death and dreading death, what are you dreading something for that as a believer that you will never happen to you? You'll never see it. You'll come to it, you'll blink your eyes, and you'll be in heaven. You'll be in heaven. It will be seamless. It will be perfect. Now, this is a terrible illustration just because of the setting, but I'm sure some of you have seen the movie. What is that guy's name? Tom Cruise. Is he a famous actor? Okay, he's a famous actor. The Last Samurai. Y'all have seen The Last Samurai. Well, he was the last samurai. According to the movie, he's the last one standing. He was the last samurai. Well, the next to last samurai, I don't even remember his name, you know. He's holding the next to last samurai in the field of battle, and he's dying. And he asked the last samurai, he said, take my life. And so he does. He takes the sword and he jabs it up in him. Gory kind of moment. And the next to last samurai looks at him and said, perfect. Perfect. Now that's a bunch of garbage. That's Hollywood saying all that. It's a bunch of garbage. But I have noted in my life, though, the thought, you know. That's how death is to be considered by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This instant, you close your eyes. The next instant, you could be able to say it was perfect in Jesus Christ the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Perfect. It's instant. It's instant. So much so that it could be argued that it went by so quick that our eye didn't catch it. They say that your eye can only comprehend somewhere around 1/16 of a second. If something is going past your eye faster than 1/16 of a second, then you can't see it. Your eye will not catch it. That's what death is. Our eye will never catch it. Our eye will never catch it. It'll go by so fast. We won't even know it ever happened. Because our Lord's word is true. Listen to him. This is what he said. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Death will not be seen in his life. You'll never be able to see it. My brothers and sisters, I don't know the portion that you'll hold in 2019. I'm sure a lot of people in our midst will grieve over lost loved ones in 2019. There may be some absences from our congregation in 2019. In the 30, nearly 40 years now of our church, we've lost a 17-month-old. We've lost an 18-year-old. We've lost a 13-year-old. We've lost a 2-month-old. So the death angel doesn't discriminate. So we don't know who will be next. But if you're a believer here today, you don't need to dread the loss because you'll never see it. You'll never see it. You will never see death. To travel from here unto heaven will be in the twinkling of an eye. And then we're there. Then we're there. It's a glorious truth. It's a beautiful truth. The Lord Jesus basically sets forth in the passage, there was an argument in the midst that they said, well, we have Abraham and the prophets. And the faith that was demonstrated in Christ is greater than faith in Abraham and the prophets, not to demean Abraham and the prophets, but our faith is to be in Jesus Christ the Lord and his words. His words, take his saying. Take his sayings with you this year. Make them rich and full in your life. You keep his sayings, you shall not see death. And conversely, if you don't keep his sayings, you shall never see life. So believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today. Make him your portion forevermore. Fear not the days that are ahead, because our Lord is out in front of us. Fear not death, because life is out in front of the believer in Jesus Christ the Lord. Thank you for these few minutes. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Father, we thank you for your love toward us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for him who loved us and swallowed up death. Thus, Paul can smile at death and say, where's your victory? You have no victory. You've lost it in Jesus Christ the Lord. And Lord, help us to delight in the truth that those that believe upon him shall never die, shall never see death. Well, Lord, death is but a dream to us. Death is but a twinkling in an eye. So, Lord, bring to pass in our lives great confidence in you. Lord, great faith in you. Great trust in you and your promises. Lord, that we might delight in you this year is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for hearing me this morning. We count it a great blessing to be with you today and before you today. And may the Lord bless our time together to follow. We'll be dismissed for a few moments of refreshment and we'll come back for worship. Thank you.